She's sick up here, that's all it is. I don't care, I can say anything I want.
I know.
But I like to.
I'm not as old as you, I can't do that.
But I like to the official, I can say anything I want and they can even sue me. They're saying anything that please about me and that.
How true, how true is this though? Can they really do that?
What?
If you're elected officials, it's free range?
That's Terry.
There is.
No, if you talk about it, if you, you know, not a.
Don't hurry, Terry, you're early.
Ah, should I come back?
You got 30 seconds on my clock.
If you tell that you was an elected official, unless it's completely. How you doing?
We got, what, 2 minutes here?
30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Doesn't matter.
It's not 6 o'clock.
Is this a forum?
Not 6 o'clock right now.
We don't have a forum.
We don't?
It's four.
Everybody's five.
Yep.
Hello?
Out of the seven of us?
Eight. He's eight.
What happens here?
There's seven of us. Right, seven of us and you, that's eight.
Why, I'm not one of you guys?
Well, you said.
I'm not one of the.
You're the Don.
What happened to the rest of the?
Oh, they don't give you money.
They know everything, so.
Yeah, so there's Aaron, Brian.
They just smile and go.
Brian.
Is this going to be on screen?
Yeah.
Oh, they're not coming here.
Yeah, she's here.
Oh.
Where is she? Right there. She's here.
Back there, I see.
Yeah.
Could you tape it?
Sarah.
Tape it to the door.
Okay.
Yeah, we should be good, I'm recording.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, 6 o'clock, we call the meeting to order and we're gonna have a roll call. And Supervisor Decker, Supervisor Carroll, Supervisor Besho, and Supervisor Thomas are excused. And Supervisor Rose, Supervisor Stock, Supervisor Nordigan. Or Norwegian, either one. And maybe we can count them for two. And
yes.
I'm present, so. However, we only have four supervisors present, so we don't have a quorum.
Is five a quorum?
Huh?
How many is your quorum?
Five.
We're gonna need five because there's eight.
So what we're gonna do is we're gonna conduct the meeting, but we're not gonna be able to vote on anything. We're not gonna take action on anything. Chair, supervisor comments. Actually, at this time, I don't have any comments myself. Any of the supervisor comments? Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to come tonight. Supervisor Bashaw's not here. I didn't know he wasn't going to be here tonight. But just to the executive committee and to you, Mr. Chairman, convey a concern that several members of the Judiciary Law have regarding our budget hearing coming up. It was tentatively scheduled for October 10th. That is a day that did not work for the majority of the committee, was not able to meet on that day. I won't get into the specifics of why each person can't be there, but me personally, and I shared this with you, Mr. Chairman, and I shared this with the chairman of the committee, I'm having a pretty invasive surgery myself done that day, and I'll be in the hospital for several days in recovery. I shared that with the committee staff as well. In attempts to try to find a date that works. I know another supervisor is not available the entirety of that week. And like I said, I won't get into specifics, but several of us are available to meet on the 19th. The meeting was then rescheduled to the 11th. Again, a majority of the supervisors aren't available to be there. By my math, it would require you, Mr. Chairman, to be there to have a quorum, which is certainly something you're allowed to do, and certainly you're always welcome at any committee. But for those of us that can't be there, it's just concerning, being that we have found a date that does work. I believe it's the 19th. Chairman Bashaw would like to move the meeting, like I said, to the 11th, which is the same day PDAC is having their budget meeting, and he is suggesting moving the PDAC meeting up, asking PDAC to move their meeting up earlier in the afternoon, which was peculiar to me, still is, seeing that he didn't want any committee meeting to meet prior to 6 p.m. The following week, the 17th, the 16th, 17th, and the 18th, that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the various committees are having their committee hearings. As of right now, the 19th, which is that Thursday, there's no committees holding the budget session. Then the following week, Supervisor Rose is having their budget committee meeting. So I would just ask you, Mr. Chairman, to maybe perhaps talk with Chairman Bashaw of the committee. Supervisor Belsky did send out an email to the entire committee suggesting that to the chairman, and we have not heard back from Chairman Bashaw. I don't, as he's not here tonight, I don't know if he's traveling or where he is. But wanted to get that. It is concerning that half of the committee can't be at the budget hearing. We take the budget seriously. We all like to be there. I certainly would love to be there, but I'll be in a hospital bed in Milwaukee, so I'm not able to make those dates, and the others aren't able to as well. That would be my humble request.
Thank you. Supervisor Bashaw is not here tonight. I guess I can say that just because he's sick.
You're sick?
Yeah. So the rest of it, I know, was not whatever. My understanding is now has been worked out or whatever. Okay. Any other supervisors? Supervisor.
Yeah, Public Works budget hearing will be on October 16th, which is a Monday. It's one of the days Supervisor Rodriguez had mentioned. So just wanted to bring that up. Anybody wanted to attend? I left meals up to Shelley. If she wants to put something together, it's up to her. So
they tried to throw it at me. Yeah. I say, you guys can have it, but you guys are paying it. I don't have any money left to pay. So I think I think they're going to do it. That's my understanding as of today.
Six.
And finance, I'm still thinking about it. The chairman is nice to me. Maybe we'll do the finance. Any other supervisors?
Yeah, and it is at 6 o'clock. So.
Okay, sorry.
In the hearing room.
Anything else? Sorry.
No, that's it. Sorry.
Any other supervisors?
Human Services will have ours on the 18th as well. So,
and I believe that's 5 o'clock or 5:30 or?
I believe it's 6.
6.
Okay. Yeah, I believe we're
having. Oh, I think 5:30 they're serving food or whatever.
Probably. Okay. Possibly. I got to get with John for the details, but we did set the date for the 18th.
Okay.
Supervisor Stein's cooking.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sorry.
Supervisor Stock is doing the cooking.
I cook pizza.
That's fine with me.
So when is the Judiciary Committee meeting?
I believe it's the 11th.
I think it was the 11th.
The 11th.
Well, the meeting originally was for the 4th, but that was canceled because of lack of agenda items. That would have been the regular committee meeting. The budget hearing currently is scheduled for the 11th.
You're not going to have a quorum?
I guess I don't know. My understanding
like
is that they
sounds
have
it. Like four of them are
my understanding is that
there.
They have it, but I don't know. I
so
really
you
don't
doing?
Know.
You're on that committee.
I'm on the committee.
Were you going to be there?
I'm scheduled to be there. I have no reason not to be there this time. So,
so,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but
okay.
No. I would prefer seeing it moved so we can get more people there, but that's not my call. That's the chairman's call.
My understanding is that every day there is a 3-4 people that they cannot make it for just about every day. That's my understanding.
Really?
Again, I just found out the first thing I heard was last night and then this morning, and this morning they say that they had it worked out.
Well, it's I know Supervisor Belsky reached out to everybody.
She did not reach it out to me. That's all I can say.
Well, on the committee.
Right. That's why I say I found out yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, late yesterday.
And
actually, to be honest, I talked to Aaron. He's in California, actually, but I talked to him today. Mm-hmm. He called me on his break, you know, whatever, and tried to talk to Supervisor Bashaw. He's very sick. He couldn't even talk. Yesterday, I talked to him for a minute today, and but barely. He's pretty sick. So that's all I know.
My understanding is of the committee members of Judiciary and Law, everyone can make it except for Supervisor Wambolt, who I think has gone the entire month for a trip.
Month.
But and then we sent that email asking Chairman Bashaw if that date would work. We just haven't heard from him.
I'm not really sure. I don't know any of the details, but I know, or what I heard is, I know about Supervisor Wambolt. It's going to be gone not the whole month, but it's not. It's coming back to
28th is
the 21st or something like that, which it's going to be just before it goes to finance, and so it's going to be gone. I believe Supervisor Bashaw is going to be out of town as of the 18th. That's my understanding, and there was another supervisor that said they could not. I'm not, again, don't quote me on that for sure, but they told me today that they got it worked out. So that's all I know. Any other supervisors? Approval minutes, I don't think we can approve the minutes because we cannot vote on anything. And then next, we have a presentation by Wisconsin County Director of Outreach and Member Engagement, Sarah Deirdrich Kestor. I hope I said it right, Sarah, about the roles and responsibilities of county board supervisors.
I was gonna say, I have copies for everybody. People want printed copies of the presentation.
Was this at the WCA annual conference?
Kind of, that's similar.
This was last year, wasn't it?
This was last year, but then this year it was done in a different format.
Yeah.
This year it was top 10 misconceptions.
Yeah, okay.
And so if you've all heard this before, I guess we can make this quick. I guess the question is.
Was that the one where they had the mock meeting right after?
No, that was parliamentary procedure.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That was parliamentary procedure.
That was fun.
Yes, and we actually, Andy and I have had a discussion already about next year's conference, and instead of two time slots, since we didn't quite have enough time to get through everything, I think we're gonna take all three, like the whole of the Monday afternoon. But we had folks, what day is it today? Thursday?
Yeah.
I've been on the road like the last 2 weeks.
Today's Thursday.
I don't know if I'm coming or going or
the
what
Packers
day it is
play
anymore.
Tonight.
Yes, that's what I was gonna say. The Packers play tonight, so I don't know if you guys are Packers fans here.
I am.
Of course.
Okay.
But the game is at 7:15.
Don't short shrift this.
Yeah, that's right. You got a lot of questions.
Well, then you also have Amazon Prime, too, to watch the Thursday night games as well.
No, it's on WISN.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. So I can catch it here without having to.
On the radio, right?
No.
No, it's on Fox.
Oh, it's on.
Yeah. Oh, good. So I can catch it on TV in my hotel as opposed to that. Oh yeah, no, I'm staying tonight. I was my day started in Crandon up in Forest County. So I drove 4+ hours from there to get here. So I'm done driving for the day. So we're good. So I just figured I'll sit somewhere and catch the Packers and
there you go.
Sure.
We will all be good.
Okay. But just to make a comment on this, you know, what you said, that it's gonna be probably 3 sessions for that. I believe it's a good idea. I saw it last year, I said it this year. I think it was a good presentation. It's helpful for everybody, even for someone that has been there before, because it is always, it's good to refresh everything that is going on and that it's always something new that you can see it. But especially for the first year supervisors, I think it was very well presented. And so I think it's really good. And that's what really kind of made me decide to ask you to come over and present it. I wish there were more people, but I guess everybody knows what to do, so.
Yeah, no, and so we will do probably with the Parley Pro, the three in a row next year, because we know that there's going to be, you know, elections again in April. So we'll probably do this roles and responsibilities piece again like we did in 2022, and we'll do the Parley Pro, and we'll do that again 3 sessions. But I think we had staff go yesterday to the Lacrosse Center because conference is in Lacrosse next year. And I said, can you look to see if you can find me a room big enough to seat 250 people classroom style, so we don't all have shove in like this for this. If we're going to do the 3+ hours of a presentation, I want a huge room, and if we set it classroom style so people will have tables and it'll look more like a board meeting as well. So I think there's the Lacrosse Center added on space, so we think we'll actually be able to do that. And so we'll have extra time. Andy will have to. This was the first time we, I digress from all of this, but the first time that we did a mock meeting of that sort. And so I know it took Andy a long time to research and figure out how to write the scenarios the right way. The interesting piece is the chair had no idea what was going to happen at that meeting. The only thing we shared with him ahead of time was the agenda, the board rules, and the 2 resolutions. That is all that we shared with Jim Brawler ahead of time. Now, he has taught some Parley Pro classes before, so he's a little more up to speed on some of this stuff, which was good and helpful. But then I handed out the rolls to people, and I don't even remember who I gave what envelope to. And even if I did, I didn't know who had what role. So there were people that were standing up and doing things that were not part of, they weren't part of the scenario that we had planned ahead of time. So Andy and I are sitting there like, oh, okay. Well, someone made that motion. All right then. Because it was not part of the script.
She was good.
Rebecca Roker?
Yeah, she was good.
I didn't
good.
Believe her when she said that she's not normally like that. She did it way too well.
Yeah. Now that was scripted. The only two people who knew what their role was ahead of time, besides the board chair, who didn't know what the rest of the script was Rebecca, who works with Andy, and then Jake Curtis, who was the
attorney.
The zoning administrator, yep. Who was trying to make a motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were the two that were...
And those cards, what Dave just pulled out, those finally made sense in that, too. Because it's like, I'd seen them before and read them, and like, oh, yeah, that makes... But the whole, when you guys walk through the superseding motions,
well,
and which one is in order when you got all these motions being thrown, like, finally clicked when
because,
we did it with those
you
cards.
You know, you have to read the real small fine print on the top to see that any motion above the other ones on the one side are in order. And, you know, we're happy, too, to come to your county board. And I give the basic Parley Pro presentation. The advanced stuff is, but I do go and I give the Parley Pro, the basic presentation to a lot of county boards where we kind of go through, you know, the 8 steps that Andy went through in the beginning. And then, you know, some of the other stuff, and we go through the card a little bit and such as well. So if you want next spring me to come and go through that with your board, more than happy to come in and do that for you guys. So
I think we had UW, was it UW Extension that did ours last year?
On the board?
I think UW Extension, I had some type of training that I sat in.
That's at the beginning.
And if anybody goes to the county officials workshops that are put on by us at Extension, we go through that as well. But I don't think you can hear that
Enough time.
Right.
Right. I agree.
It's every time we learn something new.
Maybe later on, because now we've got the budget coming up. We got a couple other things coming to the board. So this year pretty much is shut.
Yeah. But after next April, after the elections, we're happy to come and do.
If I'm here, we're here. You know?
Yes, if you guys are here. And Mr. Chair, if you're here, I've also talked to Andy Phillips as well about at the County Board Chairs Forum, doing something a little more in-depth like we did at the conference with regard to parliamentary procedure as opposed to the standard 45 minutes.
Yeah, and it was pretty good, the last one that we had there. So.
Is that on Sunday? The one on Sunday?
No.
The County Board Chairs Forum? Oh, every 2 years we put on
a separate
training. Yeah, we do a separate training for board chairs. And next year, if the board chair wishes, they'll be able to invite their vice chair to join them, too.
Well, to be honest, last year I had the board chair.
Yeah.
Because I felt it was important to have that.
Yes, and so we do have, those dates are already scheduled, I think, for the end of June next year. And we've got space big enough for chairs and vice chairs to attend. So
it was good. It was good.
But I think for the sake of the chairs, maybe a little more in depth on some of the Parley Pro stuff might be helpful for you.
Yes.
So anyway, should we talk roles and responsibilities? And again, I think because we're such a small group, we want to do this a little more informally. That's absolutely
whatever you.
Yeah. I'm not going to stand up and formally lecture at you guys or anything. I don't think you
do
guys.
Do it more relaxed after such a long day, right?
Yeah.
Right, Mr. Chairman?
Although I have to tell you.
We're saying do it more a little more relaxed after such a long day starting in Crandon, right, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah. Although I do have to say, if you get the chance to go up north, because I started out in Spooner yesterday, and I drove across the northern part of the state from Spooner to Crandon. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Colors are popping.
Yeah, nice. I think by next week they'll be at peak.
Oh, wow.
So, But it's iffy just because of the drought and everything too, to try to figure out, and the different types of trees are all changing at different times. It's a little odd of a year.
Always beautiful up there anyway.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about roles and responsibilities for a little bit. So when we start talking about roles and responsibilities, typically we start out referencing chapter 59 of the statutes, because it's chapter 59 of the statutes is really the place from which counties get their authority. So chapter 59 talks about the county authority. It talks about the different governance structures for our county boards across the state. It talks about the powers and duties of county officers. But when we talk, when we reference chapter 59 as being the Bible for county governments, unfortunately, that's not the only statute that we need to be concerned about. For example, we have chapter 19 of the statute, and chapter 19 of the statutes talks about such things as the code of ethics for local public officials, which applies to all county board supervisors. It applies to your department heads, your county executive. It applies to, you know, a number of folks within the county. So we need to be aware of chapter 19. Also included in chapter 19 is the open meetings law and the public records law, which again, everybody needs to be aware of to ensure that we're not destroying records we're supposed to keep, to make sure that, you know, we have access to, that the public has access to our meetings, which are required by the open meetings law to be open and accessible to members of the public at all times, except of course when you go into closed session. So we need to make sure we're aware of chapter 19. And then there's all those things called state mandates, right? That everybody I'm sure is familiar with, mandated programs, and all the mandated programs fall throughout many different portions of the statutes. For example, your human services department has to know about everything in chapters, 46, 48, 51, 55, 938. The court system mandates for counties are in 753 of the statutes. I think chapter 83 of the statutes talks about county highways. So the statutes are full of many, many different places to look. But again, I certainly don't expect any county supervisor or anybody to sit down and read chapter 59 cover to cover unless you're the county corporation counsel. Then you probably need to be that intimately familiar with chapter 59. But otherwise, we just like to make folks aware that 59 exists, and it's probably the first place you would go if you had a question about how your county government operates. Chapter 59 really also defines counties as bodies corporate that can sue and be sued. And the counties, you really perform your duties as a body corporate through the adoption of resolutions and the enactment of ordinances. But again, probably the biggest thing to keep in mind is that county powers, they're really limited by state statute. And what I mean by that is the fact that if you compare county authorities to municipal authorities, municipalities have what is known as home rule authority, which means they can undertake any action as long as it is not prohibited by statute. For counties, it is just the opposite. We can only undertake such actions that are expressly authorized in statute. So we're very different from municipalities in that particular way. Last thing I will mention here on this particular slide is that, again, counties are governed by a board of supervisors, which I think is fairly obvious and evident to all of us. But the statutes limit even such things as to what size your county board can be. Depending upon your population of your particular county, there's a limit to the number of county supervisors you can have. Now, these limits, I will say, are much smaller than what they used to be many, many years ago. Many, many years ago, it wouldn't be unusual for a county to have, 60 or 70 supervisors on the county board. Now, think about how unwieldy that would be and how difficult it would be to manage a county board of, say, 70 people. So I think it's good that the numbers are limited, but again, not every county and very few counties, I would say, are at their maximum number of supervisors they can have. Our smallest county board in the state has 7 members. Anyone know which county board that is?
Oh, gee, I just looked at it the other day and I can't remember.
Oh,
Milwaukee.
Yeah. No, not Milwaukee. But I will say that the state legislature forced Milwaukee County a few years ago to downsize their county board.
Good.
But seven is Menominee.
Menominee.
Now, this one's probably a little easier, which, although not always, sometimes this is tricky too. Which county board has 38 supervisors?
Walworth?
No. Walworth actually downsized a number of years ago to 11 supervisors. They used to have a much larger county board in Walworth. I think they're down to 11, or is it 13? I think it's 11 in Walworth.
Is Dane the largest?
No, Dane is not the largest. I think Dane's at 37.
Winnebago?
No.
No. Outagamie.
Brown.
Not Outagamie. Yes. Not Brown.
La Crosse.
Yeah.
All right, here's my hint or clue.
Manitowoc?
Nope. It's also the county that has the largest in landmass size.
Marathon.
Yes.
Well, it took us 50 tries.
Hey, there's 72 counties. You can do this all night.
The ones I named are over 30, though.
Yeah, a lot of those are some of the larger county
close.
Boards.
Yeah.
Right.
Close enough for government worker.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about administrative home rule. Back in the mid-1980s that counties received what is known as administrative home rule. And under the administrative home rule statute, which is 5903 sub 1, says that every county may exercise any organizational or administrative power subject only to the Constitution and to any enactment of the legislature which is of statewide concern and which uniformly affects every county. So really what this means is that counties have some flexibility under this statute to organize in whatever manner that county sees fit. So it allows you to determine what your different county departmental structures may look like. It allows you to create different committee structures within your county board as well, keeping in mind that there are certain committees that you are required by statute to have. But it doesn't mean that you can't take those particular committees, some of them, and combine them with other things, as long as you meet those certain statutory requirements. But again, that the authority that counties have under administrative home rule is not absolute either. And by that, I mean, counties have tried and asked the Attorney General whether or not they can undertake certain actions utilizing that administrative home rule power, and they were told no. An example of that would be Ozaukee County. Ozaukee County has a county administrator form of government, and under the county administrator form of government, the county administrator appoints individuals to boards and commissions, and the board chair appoints people to the standing committees of the county board. The county administrator said, I want my county board chair to make those appointments to boards and committees, and I believe they should be able to do so under this administrative home rule statute. And the attorney general at the time said no, that because this is a statutory duty and function of the county administrator, the county administrator cannot place that appointment authority with a member of the board. So again, while we have this authority, it is as most things with counties, these things are just not absolute. So let's talk a little bit about self-organization and what that means. So this was a statute that was passed in the mid-1970s to give counties flexibility regarding limited and specific county board matters. There are 52 counties in the state that are self-organized. Kenosha County is one of them. You guys self-organized later than most. You self-organized in 2017, according to the list I have from the Secretary of State's office. In order to become self-organized, a county, in essence, adopts an ordinance indicating its desire to self-organize. Then you cite your authority to do so under the statute. Then the final step for becoming a self-organized county is you file that ordinance with the Secretary of State's office. Now, once you are self-organized, it gives you the authority to undertake three actions. One is to create staggered terms for county boards. I will tell you, of the 52 counties that are self-organized, not a single county is utilizing staggered terms. And I don't recommend that any county would go to staggered terms either. Could you imagine if you had a county board election every year, at which means every year you would have to re-elect your officers, which means every year you would reconstitute your committees. You would be doing nothing but bringing people new people on committees up to speed, and you would never get your work done as a county because you would be continuously reorganizing yourselves. So nobody does it, and I think there's some very good reasons why nobody does. Being a self-organized county also gives you some flexibility with regard to supervisor compensation. If you're not a self-organized county, there's a portion of Chapter 59 of the statutes that in essence says this is how many meetings that a supervisor can get reimbursed for throughout the course of the year. And I think it's also, it goes so far as to, it has different, I think, reimbursement numbers based on even the size of the county. So if you are a self-organized county, you have the ability to say we don't wish to follow what the statutes say, and instead you could do such things as pay your supervisors a salary. You could do such things as reimburse for a greater number of meetings than what the statute currently allows. And there are a number of counties that have utilized that provision of self-organization. And then the third thing you can do is adopt an ordinance. And again, to do any of these, you need to take separate action, if I didn't mention that before. And the final thing there is with regard to filling county supervisor vacancies. You know, if you're not a self-organized county, you fill a vacancy through a county board chair appointment and confirmation by the board. Every one time, I think I am aware, because I live in Dane County, I knew this one time there was a supervisor vacancy in Dane County and they held a special election for that. I would say that was probably the exception rather than what we typically see. I'm unaware of any county that, other than that one time in Dane County, where supervisor vacancies have not been filled in a manner other than the board chair making that appointment.
No, here in Kenosha County, if a vacancy becomes vacant before, let's say now 24, you know, we get elected, if a vacancy becomes open before December 31st, 2024, then we need to have an election. If it's January 1st to after that, then it's appointed by the chair. Am I right? I think I'm right on the dates. John?
Okay, so you guys have elected then to...
Yes, we did, and we did have an election actually about 4 or 5 years ago, something like that.
I think so.
About 5 years ago?
Yeah, I was going to say my guess is most counties...
Greg Retzloff.
When he passed.
Yeah.
So we did have an
election. Okay. My guess is most counties don't do that just because of the cost of administering an election, unless you can tie it in with another regularly scheduled election. But that's my guess as to why most counties do it to go with the appointment route as opposed to an election. But again, however each county wishes to do it is absolutely up to each county. All right. So according to Chapter 59 of the statutes, every county has to have one of three forms of county government. You have to have either a county executive, a county administrator, or a county administrative coordinator. And all three of these positions might look different depending upon what county you're in. Now, usually when I'm talking to counties about this, I spend a lot of time talking about this slide and the series of slides that follows, because usually I'm in a county that is saying, hey, we're considering going to a county administrator from a part-time administrative coordinator, as opposed to talking to a county that has a county executive. Because you guys have a county executive, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, especially I know we're up against a Packers game, talking about the other forms of county government. But again, we have somewhere around 52, and some of these numbers have changed because some counties have changed. They're in the currently in the process of changing their administrative structures. But right now we have 52 of the 72 counties or so have a full-time position dedicated to serving as what I will essentially call the CEO of county government, whether they're the full-time county executive, the full-time appointed county administrator, or a full-time appointed county administrative coordinator. There are 12 counties in the state that have county executives. I will say the trend tends to be for counties to be moving toward full-time county administrators. I don't hear of a lot of counties reaching out to us saying, you know, we would like to get county executive. How do we do that? I have heard from one county that does have a county executive who may be interested in going the other direction and saying, we may wish to go back to a county administrator form of government as opposed to having a county executive. So we'll see what happens in that county. I can just tell you it's not Kenosha. So
the county administrator is they're hired by whom?
We'll see, and this is and so in lieu of going through the whole slew of slides here, we'll talk about that. So, you know, the county executive, of course, is elected by the public, right? And so they are accountable to the public. A county administrator is appointed by the county board of supervisors and serves typically as the one and only employee of the county board. So not only does the county board have the ability to hire that individual, but the county board has the ability to fire that individual as well if they believe that that individual is not performing in the manner in which the county board desires that individual to act.
So just county boards flipping in, let's say, ideology every 2 years, you could be bringing somebody else in.
I haven't seen that yet. I think, although I think we, in terms of county boards flipping ideologically, I think, is this being recorded? I will say, I think this,
it'll be on our website too.
So in 2022, I think we saw really for the first time in a number of years, I will say, more focus on ideology when it came to county board elections than what we have seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. What we don't know yet is what that will look like in terms of whether that is going to be a trend.
Right.
I hear different things from various counties where some of the folks who came on board as first-time supervisors in 2022, some counties they found that, you know, the county board isn't for them. Right. And they don't intend to run again because they found that the county board is not the place where they can effectuate their political agendas. Other counties, some of these folks have come on the county board and really embraced their role on the county board, have come to understand county government, what county government does. You know, they're learning that as much as they may wish to cut the county budget, for example, the vast majority of the programs are state mandated. And as much as they say we want to cut this program or that program, they can't do it. So yet they've come to, I think, appreciate what it is that counties do. And so I think a number of them will stay on the county boards. I haven't seen turnover in, you know, or in county administrators being asked to leave because of that ideological change. I haven't seen that yet. Now, that's not to say that can't be coming when these folks are a little more comfortable on the board, although I think it's been in very few counties where some of these folks have the majority of the board. There's a few where some of the newer folks have taken a majority. So we'll see what happens. I think after the 24 elections, the two big differences I would say between the county executive position and the county administrator position is that the county executive has veto authority over, you know, actions of the county board. Now that's not to say that the county board can't override,
but the
executive has that veto authority where the county administrator does not. And then the second biggest difference besides the veto authority is really that accountability piece where the administrator is accountable to the board and the executive is accountable to the electorate.
Yeah.
So, you know, otherwise I would say a lot of what we would talk about in terms of the roles of the county executive compared to the role of the county administrator they'll look very similar because they all talk about how, you know, that the county exec, for example, appoints members to boards and commissions, submits an annual budget. These are all the same things that a county administrator does as well. Appoints, you know, department heads, all of those things. Those are all functions of the county administrator as well. So I'm going to just skip through all of these administrator stuff because I'm usually an administrator county, so we go through that.
Yeah, odds are you would be, wouldn't you?
And,
about 3-1.
Yeah. And when we talk about the administrative coordinator, I will say with that position, the roles and responsibilities in 5919, very undefined. Mm. So for counties that have administrative coordinators, even though I'm probably not supposed to say, and this is being recorded, I will say it is much clearer, the roles, if you have a county administrator as opposed to an administrative coordinator. It is just, the lines aren't as blurred, mm-hmm. I will say. All right, so, well, all right, let's switch over then and talk about the County Board of Supervisors. Let's see here, where am I on my pages? All right, so when we talk about the County Board of Supervisors, you know, I think the role of this county supervisor plays is very different than, say, the role of your county executive or the role of your department heads and county staff. So county supervisors, we say, serve primarily in a legislative role. And by that we mean, you know, you guys are exercising the powers of the county as a body corporate, again, through the adoption of resolutions, through the enactment of ordinances, but also you perform this legislative function through the adoption of resolutions and ordinances. You do it through the adoption of plans, whether it's your county strategic plan. Do you guys have a strategic plan?
I'm sorry?
Do you guys have a strategic plan within your county?
I don't.
Strategic?
So.
No.
Okay.
There's some land use plans. Wins.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know you have land use planning. Yeah. You know, and then, of course, probably the biggest policy document that you guys adopt is a budget.
Yeah.
Because the budget really shows what your priorities are for the coming year. And you're going to fund those things. Obviously, you're going to fund your mandated programs. But then if there is, you know, funding available for non-mandated programs, those are going to reflect really your priorities as a board.
I have to say, you're asking the question, do we have a strategic plan? So we have affiliations with other organizations that adopt strategic plans, like we have Kenosha Area Business Alliance, and they've adopted an economic development strategic plan. And for the first year, our new county executive had what she called the budget visioning session, but really that was like a quasi-strategic plan. It didn't all have all the pieces like a SWOT and all that in it, but it still said over this period of time, this is what we're going to be doing from a strategy standpoint, or this is what we'll be proposing. So we have some pieces of that here. So.
Yeah, and the reason we talk about, you know, and ask a lot about county strategic planning, and again, I'm now going all over the board off my slides, but the reason we talk about strategic planning with counties is because when we talk about your role as a county board, you guys are really what we call the visionaries of the county, meaning that it's really your job and your role to think about things in the long term for the county. Because again, you're not getting involved in the day-to-day operations
right.
of the county. That would be micromanaging, and every county board member knows not to do that, right? You've never had an issue with that,
sure.
I assume. With
no,
county.
Never. No.
If you say so.
That never happens.
Never in
never
Kenosha.
Never happens.
Not in Kenosha.
So when we talk about that,
other counties
role of staff, and we talk about you guys as a board being visionary, and typically as a visionary, we ask you to think about the long term. You know, what should your county board look like, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now? Because then you can begin to, if you have that strategic plan, looking at where you guys want to go, you begin to look at your ordinances, you can begin to look at your budget and say, how do we get the county from here to there over the next 15 years? And so we talk about that as being a really primary role, you know, of the board in terms of your legislative function or your policy making function. You know, for those of you that attend NACO conferences, you know, you will run into folks from other states that have different titles. They're called commissioners.
Yeah.
And the commission form of county government, oh, yep, yep.
Yeah, judges.
And
yeah.
Judges and, you know, all of these things. And, you know, in Louisiana, they're parishes.
Parish.
They're
parishes.
Not even counties. But typically, yeah, but typically under that commissioner form of county government, what you'll see is you'll see these county commissioners acting very much like department heads and getting much more involved in the day-to-day operations of their counties, which that form of county government is not even allowed in the state of Wisconsin. You can't do that.
It's not constitutional.
We made that decision many, many years ago when we had to decide versus, you know, between the New York model of county government and the Pennsylvania model of county government. So that decision was made back at the time of statehood that we were going to go the supervisor route, and therefore we want folks to, you know, concentrate and, you know, and think about long-term visioning as opposed to day-to-day operations from the you know, from the legislative body. Let's see here.
So when they call them judges, why is, what is that?
Texas?
The same thing.
No, I know. Are they like supervisors?
They're like supervisors. They're like supervisors,
the
but they're called judges, I believe. I can't tell you much about.
Oh.
About.
I asked one of them, or some, you know, we're talking, and pretty much it's the same role as a supervisor.
Mm.
It's just they're called, some are commissioners, some
uh-huh.
judges, but judges kind of stuck to me and said, well, judges.
Yeah, because a judge means something very different to
yeah.
everybody else
yes.
yeah.
across the country.
Yeah.
You know, the people that sit and wear the black robes and, you know.
Right.
And Andy hit the nail on the head when he presented this last year, and that was, we really were given the wrong name, calling us supervisors.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really should have just been
yep.
county
and
board
and you can
members.
See that's here on
yeah.
the bottom of this slide.
Because like I said, we supervise nobody and we supervise nothing. Why
yeah.
are you calling us a supervisor? You know, but
absolutely.
There should be a big push to change that. So
yes, I know. And I will tell you, Andy Phillips and I have had conversations about whether or not he and I have it in us to go through Chapter 59 and think about looking for all the archaic language, the language that doesn't make sense, and if we were the king and queen of county government, what would we like to see?
No kings or queens of county government, that's what we
mean. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we do talk about, you know, whether or not at some point we need to reopen Chapter 59. It's been a long time. I think, now I date myself, I want to say it was probably 30 years ago, 28, 30 years ago, I want to say we opened, last time we fully opened up Chapter 59 and did a reorganization of that.
Mm-hmm.
But even I look at Chapter 59, and there's some things in Chapter 59 that I look at and I say, what is this? And it really came to light when NACO, they do, on a state-by-state basis, NACO does some fact sheets on every state and their form of county government. And the stuff that NACO sent back to us, we sat and looked at it, and I got it from Mark and Dale. Mark said, Sarah, fix this. This is all wrong. Well, I start to look at it, and I'm like, where is NACO pulling this stuff from? I didn't really, like, counties don't do this in Wisconsin, do they? And I look, sure enough. I actually sat down with Chapter 59 and tried to figure out where NACO came from this stuff. And I had to go back and say, they're not wrong, but this is not how I would want county government in Wisconsin to be portrayed. And so we rewrote it all anyway and made NACO change it all. But they picked some of the most obscure things in Chapter 59 to highlight. And I said, nobody does these things. So when we talk about redoing and revamping 59, yeah, I would love to do that, and the name of county board members would potentially be one of those things we could, well, we could call ourselves, we could come up with anything just for fun, right?
Go with judges, that seems to
yeah.
be pretty
good. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, I think there'd be a whole group of folks that would lobby against that if we tried to do a...
Sure, let's we'll call, call like ourselves
friendly
Dukes
to be a judge.
Yeah, we could come
the
up.
Judge is always right.
You're going the one uh-huh. you want, and the other ones are absurd, and you get the one you want.
Kind of more Dukes you don't like?
Yeah.
Dukes.
Okay.
Yes. So we'll keep going here.
Yeah.
Again, when we talk about county board supervisors, this first point here, supervisors' authority is collective versus individual. Really, that means that no individual supervisor has the authority to act on behalf of the board unless they are authorized to do so. If you take a look, actually, in Chapter 59, if you read, like, Chapters 59, 51, 59, 52, talks a lot about the authority of the county board. And nowhere in there does it say, you know, an individual supervisor shall or a supervisor may. It all talks about the board acting as a collective. The board shall do this. The board may do this. Nowhere does it list an individual role for the county other than, I'll say, 5913 that talks, or 5912, I'm sorry, 5912 or 5913 that talks about some specific duties for the county board chair. So again, you already made the last point that I was going to reference on this slide with regard to the term supervisors, because the question we always ask is, what do you guys supervise? You're
niente.
Fully correct when you say nothing.
Nothing.
All right, so again, then we talk about your role as a county board would be to adopt policy, and then you hold staff accountable for implementing that policy. You do that typically through county administration, whether it's having conversations with your county executive here in Kenosha County, whether it's asking a department head to come to your committee meetings and say, you know, can you provide us with an update with regard to, you know, what you guys are doing with regard to this program or the implementation of this policy that was adopted by the county board. You can certainly do that. And again, we already talked about you guys serving in that visionary role. And I just really can't stress enough, because folks, you know, a lot of times folks don't really value that, you know, that role of the county board when it comes to being serving as those visionaries. There's one county I was working with this summer who is moving from an administrative coordinator to a full-time county administrator. And the county board supervisor actually said in the meeting that they were, where they were voting to change their form of county government. And she said, you know, it will be nice for us as a board to be able to focus on policy, to focus on that long-term planning, take a look at our strategic vision, as opposed to spending all of our time talking about minutia, talking about small details, talking about employment and employee issues, you know, all of things of which the county board, for many reasons, should not be involved and engaged in. So, all right, again, when we talk about county board functions, we already talked about a lot of this. Obviously, you know, you guys adopt a budget. We talked about enacting policy. You determine services to be provided, and of course, you do a lot of that, again, through your budget. The one thing I want to talk about here, though, is this involve, represent, and be accountable to the public, because this is sometimes where some county supervisors can get themselves in a little bit of trouble. And I say that because obviously you guys have probably experienced it, where you guys get phone calls from your constituents?
Yes.
How many of those phone calls are your constituents calling to thank you for a job well done? A lot of them? Most of them?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Right? Most of them are, they're calling because they have a complaint or a concern of some sort, yeah, right?
Right.
If it's a policy issue, great, you can take it up at your next county board meeting, but more often than not, it's probably not a policy issue.
Right.
They're calling because there's a pothole in front of in the road that they drive on, or they think they were wronged by a county employee, any number of things, right? And so what we spend time talking about here is how you as a county deal with that. Do you guys have a policy in place within your county that is somewhere within your county board rules, perhaps, that really provide direction to a county supervisor as to how to act when those things happen?
No, we don't.
Yeah.
And sometimes we say it might be a good idea for counties to to have those that type of policy listed within their county board rules. So that when you get that call from somebody who says, you know, there's a pothole in front of my, you know, we don't have county board supervisors going out there and trying to fill that pothole, right?
Call the highway commission.
Instead, your policy would say, you know, call the highway department, inform them of that there is this complaint. But more importantly, too, sometimes when there's an issue involving, say, a county employee, this is where we don't really desire supervisors to get involved in that. So if there is a complaint, you know, we oftentimes ask supervisors, you know, to certainly not agree with the constituent, because as a supervisor, you don't know all of the facts, but instead make sure everybody knows what your county policy is, who it is when you get those types of complaints that you need to have the discussion with and turn those complaints over to, and just let your constituents know that, you know, we have a county policy in place. I will share your concern with, you know, the HR director, with the, you know, whatever your policy may state within your county, and then have it addressed in that way. I hear, you know, too many times where we have county board members having conversations with folks trying to get to the bottom of personnel matters. It has happened in counties, and, well, I talked to so-and-so and this and that, and they this, and yeah. I'm like, no,
yep.
not your role as a county board member. Again, enact policy, and I know, and this is where it gets tricky, because they'll say, well, my constituent called me, and I want to be responsive to my constituent. And how you respond to them is by informing the appropriate party, not by undertaking that investigation yourself. So, all right. This actually came out of county board rules from Chippewa County, where it says that the role of the county board is to set its strategic mission and priorities for the county, establish the general policies by which the county is guided in its management of county affairs, consider and act upon resolutions and ordinances, provide financial oversight, and build community relationships in support of the mission and priorities. And then it goes on to say the county board appoints the county administrator, which in your case would not apply here. You could certainly talk about the role of the county executive if you wish, but sometimes it's not a bad idea to put a statement like this within your county board rules, just to remind county supervisors, especially those who are newly elected, what it is that their you know, ultimate in responsibility is while serving on this board. And Andy Phillips and I are currently working on, I don't know how many of you guys are familiar with our In the Boardroom series that we hold at noon on the last Wednesday, because yesterday was Wednesday, the last Wednesday of every month, where we provide some free education and training to our board members, but we also tape them and put them on our website for those who are not available to attend. And we do have a date for November. We are going to forego the November one and choose two dates back to back in December, again, which will be recorded. We're gonna spend a lot of time talking specifically about county board rules with the elections coming up and counties beginning the process of revamping their county board rules. And really spend some time discussing these are the types of things that should be included in county board rules, and it will include, you know, a reference to a statement such as this. All right, so we're 15 minutes to kick off, right? 18 minutes to kick off? Okay, so let's talk about the county board chair. Again, the county board chair, there are duties that are defined in 5912. Those duties talk about such things as countersigning ordinances, presiding at meetings, and administering oaths to persons required to be sworn. But I think we all know that the role of the county board chair is much greater than that. You know, when we talk, and we also can't dismiss the, you know, how important it is for the chair when presiding over the meetings to make sure that the rules of the county board are being followed. And I have to say that is not always an easy job for the county board chair to make sure that the rules are being adhered to and are being followed. It's also appropriate for a county board chair to provide guidance and direction to supervisors as you guys are trying to move issues through your board. You know, if someone needs to make a motion, for example, and can't quite figure out the right wording, it's okay for the chair to provide some guidance. It's okay for the chair to say, I think the motion you wish to make, instead of call the question, might be, ma'am, are you moving the previous question? You know, and it's certainly appropriate for a county board chair to do those types of things. So, and I should have a reverse on that as well, is that it is also just as important for county supervisors to respect the role of the chair and respect that when the chair is enforcing the rules, that they are really doing their job and doing what is asked of them and required of them in that particular capacity. So standing committee functions. In the state of Wisconsin, I will say that we operate through the use of a really strong committee structure here. It's really our committees that do all of the heavy lifting when it comes to performing your role in terms of policy development. It is in the committee that I think ideas are oftentimes born, or the first step when somebody has a resolution that they have adopted. It is, I think, rare for something not to be referred to a committee and then the committee not spend some time taking a look at that particular resolution or ordinance, studying it. Or if there is a concern or a problem that is raised within the county, oftentimes that will be brought to a committee, and it is the role of the committee to try to figure out what that solution may potentially be. And so, again, in the state of Wisconsin, our committees play a really, a really strong role. And if we truly in this state believe in our strong committee structure, I should ask, how long do your county board meetings take?
Actually, it could be anywhere from about 1 hour, I would say, to about 3 hours.
Okay. Okay. So if you guys, and what we'll say a lot of times is in those counties that really trust in their committee process and trust in their committee structures, your county board meetings should be very quick, 45 minutes to an hour. Because you should trust that your county board or your committee did its homework, got the information that it needed to get. Excuse me.
The water? Well, I think the meetings that go, meetings that go longer when there's an hour to 2 hours of
citizen comment.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Citizen comment, that's a whole... Please tell me you have good county board rules with regard to citizen comment.
I think they're pretty good, but
they are. I think
they're as good as they can be.
Actually, with the exception of a few meetings, but at the beginning, but
okay.
They're going pretty smooth, I guess.
Yeah, they
they're
have
really
been.
Going pretty smooth now.
I was going to say,
but at the beginning, it was when I said the beginning of this term, we had a few meetings that were pretty exciting.
Yeah, I was going to say. Depending upon, obviously, I assume you limit the time that each member can speak. And do you limit what they can speak on as well, to only items on the agenda or to any topic?
No, that we don't. We'll let
okay, many counties will limit
what
the topics that a member of the public can discuss during citizen comments to only those items that are included on the agenda.
We'll let
and part of the reason, there's a couple of reasons for that. First is it keeps you from having, 3 hours worth of citizen comments.
Have a time limit.
Okay.
Not just how much, how long they can speak, but what the citizen comments should be. And I believe we have it to 1 hour.
You limit to an hour. Okay.
We limit to 1 hour.
I've seen a lot of 30 minutes for citizen comments, not a lot of 1 hours. But the other reason too, I will just mention that you may want to limit citizen comments to only those items on the agenda, is because of the open meetings law. And if somebody brings up an item under public comment that is not on the agenda, and a member of the board starts to engage or discuss
that, we cannot allow it.
Yeah, I know you can't.
Yeah.
Sometimes
Well, that's not a lot.
We'll let them do it at all.
Okay, yeah, good, because you don't want to get involved in a
Right.
in an open meetings violation.
Right.
All right, so I think we talked about standing committee. A lot of that's just repetitive. All right, let's talk a little bit about staff. When we talk about county staff, we really talk about staff having two different jobs. You know, one is to, you know, carry out the policy directives of the board. And the second, as Andy Phillips will jokingly say, would be to make you as a board look good, right? And in other words, what we mean by that is oftentimes it is your staff that, you know, obviously they have the programmatic knowledge, they have the educational background to give you guys recommendations and to give you professional advice on a lot of the topics that you guys will be discussing. But other than that, really your staff, you know, serve in an operational role within your departments, and they also serve in an advisory role to you as board members. But they don't have the authority to, you know, enact policy like you do as a member of the county board. Again, when we talk about the administration and staff, you know, they really, when we talk about you as board members being visionaries and thinking about the long term, we talk about your department heads and staff really thinking about things in the short term. They really focus on day-to-day operations and on smaller functions. They have to pay attention to all of the details of how particular programs work or how specific mandates are supposed to be carried out. And oftentimes that'll require some specialized training. Now, as Andy always says, sometimes this is the slide that can get us in trouble. Because when we talk, when you guys are going to hire staff, what's in your help wanted ad for your staff?
Education, experience.
Office. Right, right. You want education, you want experience. You want to know whether or not they have their professional licenses in order. All of those types of things. But then when we talk, compare that to the county board, what are your, what are the requirements to, you know, serve
vertical
on the county
room
board?
Temperature and breathing.
Breathing, I hear breathing a lot.
Yeah.
Citizen.
So, yeah, yep. Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, you would have to
meet a residency law.
But basically there's three things, right? You have to be 18, you have to be a resident of your district, and the third and most important one, you can't be a felon. Those are the three statutory requirements for you to serve on the county board. So you can compare that to what it is that you're looking for in staff, right? You guys basically, you can't be felons. They have to be, you know, educated and have experience and all of those things.
And could be a felon.
They could be a felon. They could be a felon. You know, I've never had anybody say that to me before.
Could be a felon.
But yes, they could be a felon, sure. And so, you know, the reason we point that out is not to say that, you know, that county board members aren't educated and don't have experience, because you do. And you guys come from many different, you know, life, you have had many different life experiences. Members of your board have very different and diverse backgrounds in many instances. But where you guys shine, I think, as board members, is really in your connection to the electorate. And your connection to the local people and conversations you have with them, you know, on a daily basis, again, because that's what really drives what you may see and include in your vision, in your policy direction, in your strategic planning, is really what it is that the citizens do. And you should never discount the importance and the important role you guys play in representing the citizens, you know, of Kenosha County. That is extremely important.
We get out there, shake babies, and kiss hands.
That's right.
That's how to do it.
Have you heard that one before?
That one I have not heard before.
He wanted to say something else, really. So that's why,
yes.
I went like
So now you've heard two things from our chairman of the Public Works Committee that you never heard before. So.
That's good.
Crown, there's more.
See, that's good. I hear lots of new things when I go to county board meetings and committee meetings. It's always interesting. I love my new job of being on the road and not being a lobbyist anymore. This is much more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Much more fun. Yeah. All right. So again, when we talk about policy versus administration, you as a board talk about the what's and the whys, and your staff really talk about the where, when, and the hows. You know, so for example, just an example of this, if we talk about creating a hiking trail for the county as a board, you guys will have that debate and discussion about whether or not you should establish the hiking trail system and will it benefit the county. Once you make that policy decision, then the staff will get involved and say, okay, who is going to maintain that system? You know, where is it, where does it need to be maintained? What is the time frame for implementation? All of these types of things. Once you make that overall policy decision, then we get to the role of the staff in carrying out those decisions that you guys have made. All right, this one. Individual county board supervisors have no management or leadership role outside of committees and commissions. Their authority is collective as a member of the board. What do you think that's a nice way of saying?
Stay in your lane.
Don't micromanage.
No, micromanage, that is correct. That's a nice way of saying that. And actually, the Langlade County, in their county board rules, they actually have a board rule that says county board supervisors shall not micromanage departments.
Langlade?
Langlade County.
Hmm.
I was going through all the county board rules looking for, I don't remember if it was electronic meeting language. And so I've been through all the county board rules in all the counties, and that stood out at me. Because I think that's the only place I've ever seen an actual county board rule say do not micromanage.
So the question of the day is, do I represent the people in my district, or do I represent the county board as a whole, all of Kenosha County?
I was going to say, and that's, that's not.
What is the answer?
That's not the first time of that. I think, you know, I have heard various answers to that. But I think a lot of them talk about your role as being a representative of the county government and oftentimes looking out to see what is best for the county as a whole.
I look at it this way. I was elected by my district to do the work of the county, as long as it doesn't negatively affect my district. And at that point, then I fight for my district.
Yeah.
So it doesn't negatively
affect
their lives, which hopefully nothing would in general. But, you know,
well, I'm in a city district, so it's like I have four aldermen that overlap my district. So all your roads and potholes and all that kind of stuff is taken care of by the aldermen. So like all the services that my district would get my representation from are from outside where we live anyway. So it's like, you know, there's just multiple layers when you overlap a municipality too. But yeah,
oh,
you hear
yeah.
that all the time.
And there are counties that have very much an urban-rural divide with regard to policy
94.
Yep, 94 is a divide.
Yeah.
West is the German, east are the Italians.
All right.
We'll just go
through a few more slides here, because I think the last set of slides is all just pretty much repetitive of everything that we've said before. So we won't go. This one I'm going to talk about, though, because you guys are executive county. And we talk about how the courts view the distinction between policy and administration. So back in 1996, there was a ruling by the Court of Appeals in Schutte versus Vandehei. And if you grew up in the Appleton, Fox Valley area, that is not Vandehei, it is Vandehei. And Schutte is Jim Schutte. He was the county board chair, and Ron Vandehei was the county executive of Outagamie County back in 1996. The county owns and operates an airport. The county board wanted to lease out the land around the airport to a farmer. The FAA had indicated no concerns with it. Nobody, you know, in terms of safety issue, the county board did its due diligence and said, nope, no safety concerns here. You know, as a matter of policy, we as the board want to lease this land to the farmer. The county executive indicated, yeah, I, regardless of what you as the board said, I do have safety concerns with having a farmer, working land that is that close to the county airport, and said, no, I'm not interested in leasing this land whatsoever. So this ended up in court, because obviously the county made a policy decision. The executive said, nope, don't agree with it. So the court said, in this case, that the county board's function is primarily policymaking and legislative, while the county executive functions as an administrator and manager. Policy has been defined as a high-level overall plan embracing the general goals and acceptable procedures, especially of a governmental body. Again, that's just a definition out of the dictionary. Legislative power is designated from executive powers the authority to make laws, but not to enforce them or appoint the agents charged with the duty of such enforcement. The crucial test for determining what is legislative and what is administrative has been said to be whether the ordinance is one making a new law or one executing a law already in existence. Now, for those of you who are at the conference and heard Andy Phillips, don't answer this next question. Who won the court case? The county board or the county executive?
I know.
So was this an ordinance or resolution that was passed and vetoed by the executive?
It must not have been vetoed, or if it was vetoed, it would have been overridden.
They sued each other.
They sued each other.
So it was ignored.
It was
executive
ignored.
Executive just went out and did it.
Yeah.
No.
So the okay,
I know.
You can answer. Who won the court case?
The county board won the court case, but it was a hollow victory because the executive has the authority of negotiating the contract. So.
So the executive said something to the effect of like, hey, sure, I'll lease it to you for $1 million.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the reality is, though, the county board.
So they're up a creek without a
paddle. County board did win the court case because, again, it was a policy decision made by the board to lease the land, and it's up to the executive branch to carry out that policy decision of the legislative branch being the county board. So.
So in this case, you could not lease the land.
No, they should have. The executive should have leased the land.
Oh, I'm sorry. The board adopted a policy saying you lease the land.
Lease the land.
But it's hollow because.
It's up to the administrator or the county executive to carry out that policy,
right.
And the county executive then would have to, you know. Execute and create the terms of the lease.
So then the following
right.
election, if it was a different executive, then all of a sudden
terms
that
of
land
lease
would
could
be
have
up
been
for
undesirable
yeah.
to the farmer and therefore not leased.
What did the executive do?
I honestly couldn't tell you what they ultimately did. I can tell you I don't think Ron Vandehei was he resigned, I want to say, midterm as the county as the county executive, but I don't know if it was after, you know,
yeah, right.
I don't know how long after this ruling that happened, but I know he did resign at some point, went to the private sector instead.
Or he didn't have a board telling him to.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's keep moving on here. I think, so we just, you know, in this presentation, typically we talk about these organizational charts. I think with a county executive, it's a pretty clean organizational chart with regard to, you know, the county board setting the policy that the administration carries out. That's the same, very, very similar with the county administrator, with an administrative coordinator, not quite so easy. But there's one group of county officials that we haven't talked about yet. Who would that be?
The constitutional officers.
Constitutional officers, for those of you reading ahead, thank you. Yes, so if where would the constitutional officers fall on this particular org chart?
They don't.
Yeah, so Andy Phillips talks oftentimes about the dual persona of the county constitutional officers. And the reason we talk about them in that manner is because they are elected officials, so they are accountable to whom?
People.
The people. But they have to work within the county structure.
Budgets come to us.
So who works in the offices of your constitutional officers? County employees, right? Who follow county employment policies,
right.
Correct? Do the constitutional officers come to your committees, give you updates?
Sometimes.
Why do they do that?
They want money.
Because they want money?
Yeah.
Because when it comes budget time, who do they need to come see? Right?
That's
right.
So the constitutional officers are oftentimes in, you know, they're they don't fall real cleanly within the county structure, because again, they're not accountable to you as a board. They're not accountable to the county executive as the CEO of the county, but they are really accountable to the electorate, but they very much have to work within the county structure, whether it's county policy for their employees, again, power of the purse that resides with the. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that you as a board, if you have a concern or an issue with one of your constitutional officers, that means you can zero out their budget. You cannot do that. Because there have been court cases, most of the court cases, I would say, and I'm not a lawyer, but most of the ones I'm aware of that deal with the authorities of constitutional officers typically come from the sheriff's office. Because you have to make sure that you are providing them with the resources that they need in order to perform their constitutional duties. All right. Everything after this really just talks about, you know, the goal is to work together, board, executive, constitutional officers, you know, make sure everybody gets along and works together so that we can do all the good work that counties need to do on behalf of the citizens, right? All of that fun and flowery stuff. No, but you know, all kidding aside, yeah, obviously we want to work together as a goal. A lot of what we have here is just, this is all just repeating everything that we have already said. So you guys can read that, because you know, we're now a few minutes past kickoff. So I don't know if anybody has any questions at all about any of this. You guys have this all down. Everybody knows.
We're not going to be tested, though.
Well, I don't know. Next week there will be a test. Yes, no, I just randomly appear back in counties at county board meetings, and I show up with a test for everybody and see how well they do.
Just put it on the agenda, because if you have citizens' comments, we're not going to answer.
No, that's right.
I mean, by law, we don't even have to have citizen comments. So.
No, you do not.
Oh, you don't? I thought the statute.
No. The statute.
People available be there.
The statute allows members of the public to attend your county board meetings and your committee meetings.
Sure.
And to listen to what is going on. Mm-hmm. They also have the right to videotape the meetings as long as they are not interfering with the function of the body.
That's good to know.
But so if somebody starts taping you, you can't tell them they can't do it. That's in the law. But there is no statutory right to citizen comments. It is completely voluntary and up to the county board to decide whether or not they wish to allow them.
Question for you about the videotaping. So if citizens, you have citizens' comments, and they're doing their citizens' comments, and somebody's videotaping them, do they have to allow them to videotape?
Yes. It happened to us in a few.
I mean, it's part of the county.
I don't give permission to be videotaped.
It is part of the county board meeting, and again, many counties also record their board meetings.
Yeah, we do.
Some
we
will
do.
Put them on their website. Yeah, again, so I think it's
reporter they didn't want recorded.
Yeah.
But we had to, I checked on that because that happened at a couple meetings here. Yeah. People were complaining. Sorry, that's the law.
Yeah, the law. Yeah, that's the law. That's what I would have thought.
Yeah.
If one's videotaping, they all can be. Sorry, record. They don't videotape anymore.
Yeah. What's a tape recording again?
So. I know, video. Right?
Take pictures.
Clearly, I age myself. And if my children were here, they would call me a boomer. And, you know, I get called that quite a bit.
You should wear that with.
Is that with Chris?
Yes. And I did have to, you know, I was helping put together a PowerPoint for one of our ITBACs. And I needed some photos put in the background and everything. And I, one of my kids, and I say, okay, you need to help me do this. And he'd do it and show me. Be like, okay, can I go now? You saw how to do that? No, keep going. And we went through the whole litany of slides before I finally said, oh, okay, yeah, I think I might understand it now, to make sure it was all done. Now I have an email saying I have to create a Bitmoji. I'm like, a Bitmoji? I think I know what that is, but I would have no idea how to do one.
Google.
Yes. So,
I was a CFO here for 30 years, and Corp Counsel gave me an opinion that I had to adjourn Sendai twice. And I talked to my other counterparts at other counties, and they don't adjourn Sendai twice. We adjourn Sendai just before we adopt the budget, and then in April when we finish our audit. Does that ring a bell with you at all?
I know Mike Blaska has talked about adjourning sine die before. I haven't.
That's not your bailiwick.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's in Parliament. It's in Robert's
rules. We have to do it twice.
Adjourning sine die. I don't know if anybody actually, like, I'm trying to think if counties ever really do that.
We do it twice.
Because twice?
Yeah,
twice
which means any resolutions that are not finalized before that happens die, and we have to start over with stuff.
Okay, and I was going to say, and this gets into this lovely area of defining what a session is of a county board.
Right. Yeah.
Because some will say a session is a single meeting. Some will argue a session is the two-year period.
Right.
And so once some if you adjourn sine die after a year, well, that's the same issue can come up again within that same
two-year period.
And I don't know if you'd want to do that or not. And so I don't know if you have to adjourn sine die because, I mean, after the election, everything would just start over. Although counties, you know, some counties have, you know, included in their rules, I think, rules, ordinances, I don't know, where, like, you know, if you adopt a resolution, for example, saying you support this particular policy issue, whether or not that carries over indefinitely, or whether or not every 2 years you have to come back and say, we support increases in shared revenue. Do you have to adopt that every 2 years?
Yeah.
Or can you just say done with it?
No.
And it's a gray area, and I know it comes up a lot, and we've had lots of discussion about defining session, because the way Roberts defines it, and again, Roberts, though, was not written for governmental bodies, so it's...
Is that what you're going to do when you fix Chapter 59? You're going to fix that, too?
Well, I don't know where in Chapter 59 it says you have to adjourn sine die.
No, the definition of session.
And there is nothing in session, I don't think, under Chapter... Chapter 59 doesn't define session, and I think that's part of the issue is... So if you follow Robert's rules, that does define and talk about what a session is and how that works with a two-year county board term. It's an interesting discussion.
It's just every time I had to go get a budget adopted, it gave me anxiety because there was a couple times it got goofed up because we had to adopt the budget after the prior year got adjourned Sendai. So then, and then we would adopt the budget after adjourning Sendai in the new session so that that budget would cover the new year. And if it got mixed up under the open meeting notice, the meeting notice, then we could actually not adopt the budget. And we came close to making a mistake a couple times. So it just adds unnecessary anxiety to that kind of...
Yeah, because I know there are some counties, where it was
unnecessary.
Yeah, I think there are
some... So is that, can we set a county policy that defines what a session is and sets that schedule?
Possibly.
Yeah, you could.
But that's where that's written. That's a county to county. It's not a state thing.
I think maybe within your county board rules, you could probably define...
Right.
Then you know, essentially define what a session is so that you know what maybe has to come back the next session and what, you know, what would carry over.
We would just say we follow Robert's rules with the following exceptions and that being one.
I don't even think you have to do that. I just think if you don't have something that's your own, you follow Robert's rules.
Our rules are on top of
concern about what a session is.
Many details because we don't want to discuss something.
We can discuss whatever we want.
So the correct pronunciation is sine die, not sendai.
I've heard Mike Blaska refer to it as sine die, but I don't know for sure.
That's Italian.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Really appreciate this.
Thank you, Sarah.
Sure. Thank
Ask
you.
Google.
Okay.
Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's good to see you again.
And we typically never have to watch the first half of the Packers game anyway. They don't do anything until the fourth quarter.
Unless you're watching the Jets game. Unless you're watching a Jets game.
Hope not.
Well, that's what they say. It's here, 14-0.
I DVR'd it.
14-0.
Yeah, they're losing.
Losing?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, oh, he must not be. Jeez. You're my chairman? Oh.
Okay. Number seven, we cannot do anything on that. Items for future discussion. Anything that you guys want to do it? Supposedly, the racial equity is supposed to come out with a report, but don't bet on it. So let's
let them bring it forward. Don't prompt it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So let's not.
What about? Think about it, then I was going to say, what about the
ethics?
Huh?
The ethics?
Yeah, the ethics.
Well, we're just waiting for the
when it's done. Done we let them bring it forward.
The ethics policy. Yeah.
Right.
So,
let us adjourn.
Well, so John isn't familiar with the ethics. My understanding is you had a presentation on the ethics code.
Yeah.
The you were going to Corp Counsel took your comments. They were going to go back and review it and then bring it back. And they should get that done before the end of the year, I would think. Could you bring that message to the Corp Counsel? We want to get that done, that ethics thing.
Okay.
And the two issues that I saw when I looked at it was one, loading some idea of fraud in there where we, and I talked to Joe about that, so I just didn't want that to get missed.
Can talk about that now anyway. Okay. So, we'll do that. Anyway, I know they're talking to the attorney. Let's not forget that our next meeting is going to be just a few days before the budget will come up for a vote. So we're not going to try to put too many things in front of that until
maybe the December one then.
Well, it could be the November.
No, November. Yeah, there you go.
That's going to be right up close to Thanksgiving.
Okay, so we don't have to even vote to adjourn.
No.
We don't need that.
We're done.
We don't even need it. We cannot vote on anything.
No.
We don't have a quorum.
Okay.
And we can't even vote to adjourn. We never.
You mean I could have left half an hour ago?
We never convened. We weren't convened. Oh, I'm sorry. I sit
now. Now they tell you.
It's not my computer.
Oh, it's not.
But I have. I have two thumb drives in there.
Okay, so then with this,
you gotta grab
the other one. I could care less about, but
Michelle's like, that's fine. I can load that.
I could care less about. I should say, but this doesn't work if I don't have that piece.
You better get.
If you go down and visit counties, you should do the mock meetings at a county. Like, that would be a great way for the training.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just instead of just, I mean, do if you did what you guys did at WCA, do that on a smaller scale if the counties are asking for it, because, you know, it's one thing to listen to all the slides.